time for a chat. So what's new? What's going on?
Well, we're gearing up for a grants round. We have a couple of deadlines coming up, but especially our August 1st one is just a couple of weeks away now. So we're letting people know about our Arts and Cultural Heritage Grant, our Arts Legacy Grants. And those are still the same low match of 10% with up to $10,000 available. So okay. A wonderful opportunity for many people to apply through that.
And who's eligible for those grants?
You know, really, anyone. The only thing is there's some stipulations related to the eligibility of projects. So, for instance, a lot of cities will apply for their festivals or they'll apply for public art pieces that are coming about. Mm-hmm. And then our nonprofit arts groups are who we primarily serve. So they can apply for some of the things that they're going to enhance or increase that they've already been doing, or something new that they haven't tried before. This could be a way of doing that. Individuals can apply if the project is very community-based. So it depends on how they write their narrative for whether they can apply. And then we also have schools that come in for projects like artists in residencies or other things within their school that fit. Schools are probably the trickiest because they have their own revenue stream through Minnesota. So Therefore, it's kind of a little bit streamlined, I guess, really, like I said before, related to what they can apply. So bringing in the artists to come in and do a week-long residency is what most of them apply for.
And as an example, schools that plan ahead for the school year, they should apply then now for funding for the coming school year? Is that how it works?
They can, because we will be looking at the grants at the end of August. So they could set up some fall activities, winter, of course, or spring. Okay. So some school districts will come in now. We do have a legacy grant that's geared towards school districts that has a new pool of funding. So every district in our region on a first-come, first-served basis can apply for a compass artists to come into their school and do a residency that's at a high caliber level. And Compass artists they go through a juried process to be part of the roster, and it's a Twin Cities based organization, and those artists really do a good job. So if schools are new to residencies, a lot of times working through a Compass artist is beneficial. And those projects don't go through a review process. We have an amount of money that's set aside. So on first come, first serve, the school districts within our 7-county area can apply for up to 2 in this next school year. So that's starting up right now, and I have schools talking to me about that program.
When I hear about that resource, I think of the smaller schools in Northwest Minnesota, and there are quite a few that don't have the budget to have someone on staff that provides this kind of assistance or guidance in art. And so these schools can bring in someone to fill that need, which is nice.
They definitely can, and it's a wide range. Like, so we have some schools that have barely any budget for this, and they've, you know, lost some art specialists in visual arts, music, theater, dance, for sure, those. Literary, even, if they used to have a creative writing instructor. Mm-hmm. But it really even fits schools that have a lot going on, because you're adding that residency component that enhances the curriculum to the point where it gives the teachers some tools also to work off of, that they can repeat some things that the visual artist has done, for instance, and carry that forward, and they learn new technical skills themselves. And that program, we're still running without a match. So on a first come, first served basis throughout this year until we run out of money, starting right now in July, like I said, there can be 2 per district, and you can put them across any of your, you know, the grade levels. So, but we do try and have it focused. We don't want just a lyceum where all the school is exposed. Like, we want it to be a core group of students. So, for instance, even a smaller district might say it's going to be our 3rd through 6th graders. So those kids will all get a deeper experience during the week. And the Compass artists are very good at that. They know that those enriched experiences where you focus on one grade level really help the kids advance versus an open lyceum. So
okay, and the deadline again is August?
August 1st is for our Arts Legacy Grants, and that's the $10,000. And then this school one is first come, first served. And those are up to $2,100 for a performing art or writing artist, and then up to $2,500 for a visual artist or a photographer or something that has supplies. And last year, to tell you honestly, we had money in that program up to the very like in May of
Isn't
last
that
year.
Something?
So we didn't. So schools, if you're planning on it, just get the applicant, you know, talk with our office, with myself, and get the application in when you're ready, you know. Yep.
The money's there.
The money's there.
And I'm assuming people just assume that the money is being spent somewhere else and we don't get it. Well, go ahead and apply.
Yes.
You know, it's something that I think is not known enough of, and that's why you're on the air every week talking about what you provide in those support services, and it's a tremendous thing. This is why the Legacy Fund was established.
Yes, definitely, to provide those over and above enhanced experiences mm-hmm. that increase participation and exposure, you know. So it's a good program, and the Compass website is easy to go look on. I mean, you don't have to even talk to me before you go surf around the website and find out if there's an artist that you really would like to work with. And Daniel Gabriel down at Compass, he's easy to work with. He helps you talk with him, and he helps school teachers kind of work through which artists would fit, you mm-hmm. know, what they're thinking. And I know based on experience in our area who would serve certain grade levels. Like, for instance, John Macheski is a writer from the Twin Cities that just does a fabulous job with fourth graders. So, you know, that experience that we've started to cultivate related to the schools that have had such positive experiences, I can share that with people too.
Mm-hmm. Great. Anything else shaking at your office?
Well, we have, in general, we have our gallery set up with two new artists now here in East Grand Forks. So Deb Oney has sculpture pieces that are made out of tires a little bit. It's an interesting sculpture.
Really?
They're dolls. So that'll
really?
Be part of the sculpture walk.
Interesting.
And then Erin Nelson, the visual art high school teacher here in East Grand Forks, has her paintings up. So between Deb's sculptures and Erin's paintings, it's kind of fun to go check out the Riverwalk Artist Gallery and the shop, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be on the next Art and Wine Walk coming up now in July on Saturday.
Yep, this Saturday, I believe.
Yes.
You're right, yeah.
So that'll be a fun day, I think. And then we also have a couple of key projects that are going on that are kind of right in the midst right now. We have the fairs, of course, mm-hmm. Like Marshall County Fair is coming up, and things have been sponsored into that, as well as other fairs in the area. And Lend Me a Tenor is happening in Thief River Falls next week. So that's a play that's happening that we have legacy funds going towards. So, and I'm sure I'm forgetting lots of
Boy,
things.
Boy, you're busy again, aren't you?
But it's fun to hear all the activity that happens in the summer as people move around. So.
Yeah, it's fair time. We're coming up to the Marshall County Fair, my sons and I.
Oh, you are? Good.
It's a great fair. All the county fairs are nice, but Marshall County is a little extra special. I like that fair. And no, Mara did not give me an extra $1 for that comment. She's worked with the county fair in Warren for a long time, and it's a well-run county fair, and we have a ball coming up there. I want to mention, too, that the traveling art exhibit is still underway.
It is.
Sponsored by the Arts Council. And as I check my list here, the exhibit is occurring now in Roseau at the Roseau Public Library, and that's there now. Starting tomorrow.
Okay. It's just moving to there. Yep.
Yeah, it was in Hallock until, today. And so tomorrow into Thursday, it opens in Roseau. It's there until August 7th. And then the next stop is Crookston from August 9th until August 28th. And if you would briefly tell us what that exhibit's about as it travels.
The exhibit is a mini show based on our larger show, which happened in Kennedy this year. So that large show had 130 pieces in it. Mm-hmm. And this is 10 or, you know, up to 12, 14 pieces just to show what the quality of the art is that is coming through our larger show. And then to just provide more exposure to more residents by moving it through the libraries.
Mm-hmm. So, nice to have the access.
Yes.
Again, that's important. That's why you do what you do. Well, for more information about the money available for funding in grants and activities and services provided by the Arts Council, if you would give us your contact telephone number there in Warren and your website address, too.
Sure. Our phone number is 218-745-9111, and our website address is www.northwestminnesotaartscouncil.org.
Very good. Mara, thank you so much again.
Yeah, thanks.